begin our work session of the City of Cedar Hills, City Council of Cedar Hills. It's Tuesday, December 7th, 2021, and it is 6:03 p.m. Our meeting tonight is being held at the Community Recreation Center in Cedar Hills. And our first item on our work session agenda is my favorite item every month, and that's our station appreciations. I'm so grateful that our police department and our fire department are here tonight with us. We appreciate you so much and everything that you do for us. And tonight we're going to highlight a couple of officers that have made a special impact. Okay, we're going to start with the fire department. Firefighter paramedic Chad Jensen is always attending trainings and help. Yes, what happened? Oh, okay. Chad Jensen. Yes, Chad. Yeah. Chad.
Serious.
Here's Chad Jensen. He is always attending trainings to help better his skills and master his craft. He is a member of the Utah Valley Metro Special Response Team, where he is skilled in rope rescue, confined space rescue. Yeah, that's the one. And hazardous materials response. Chad is an extremely dedicated person who is always striving to better himself, the department, and the community. He has also developed and coordinated the department's fire hydrant testing program, which ensures that critical equipment is ready when it is needed in an emergency. Chad Jensen is an asset to our department and the citizens of Cedar Hills. Thank you, Chad.
Thank you.
Okay, now the police department. Officer Corey Maxfield. Officer Maxfield, come on down. Officer Corey Maxfield is the officer being recognized from the police department tonight. This past winter into spring, Corey worked the graveyard shift. Corey personally took it upon himself to go above and beyond taking care of Cedar Hills while the community slept. Corey was in Cedar Hills every night doing extra patrols, foot patrols, taking calls, helping people, and finding ways to make a difference and serve others. As a result, Corey made numerous officer-initiated stops and arrests and likely deterred a significant amount of crime. Thank you. Corey is also a member of the National Guard. We are very proud of the service he provides through this as well. Corey is an all-around good person with a good heart. He is very humble and is continually looking for opportunities to help those around him. In our department, we strive to recognize excellent character, and Corey's actions continually show how lucky we are to have him as a part of the American Fork Police Force serving Cedar Hills. We are grateful for you. Thank you for taking care of us while we're still. Does the council have anything they'd like to add?
Okay. Oh, I don't know what else I could add to that, but we appreciate you. We have been really happy with having American Fork Police and Fire in our city, and we get great feedback from residents, and so we just appreciate all that you do for us individually and as a group. So thank you.
Just keep up the good work. We appreciate it. Seriously, like I feel like we have bragging rights with how good this is.
Yeah.
Yeah, really appreciate it.
We love feeling safe in our community. Thanks for all you guys do.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
You don't have to stay for all of our discussions, but we appreciate you being here.
Photo, though.
Yeah, yes. Quick photo.
Mine's going on and off, so I don't know if that's good or not.
That one's dead, this one's dying.
Thank you.
those to the other light.
This one just got traded out, and I just turned it on.
I can hear you, but not through that.
Okay. Thanks, Gretchen.
I think we're going to first do,
So our next item on the agenda is our discussion on traffic control. Mr. Goodwin, our city manager, will be presenting. After Mr. Goodwin presents his portion of this discussion, we'll open it up to public comment. Usually in the work session portion of City Council, we don't have public comment, but we felt like we wanted you to be able to come and tell us, give us your thoughts on the situation after he's discussed what we've discovered in the traffic study. So we'll give you that chance after he's finished.
Okay, let me give you just a minute to warm up.
I'm sorry.
It was just not an ideal place. Last time we had the meeting down here, I moved that screen around so much, and I just could not find the spot where it would...
That is not Redwood Road.
It's not Redwood Road, no.
But it's beautiful.
I don't know why it does this screen duplication, but here you are. Let's go here. All right. So in order to talk about this, I wanted to make sure that we all understood what we're talking about. So when I use terms that we're all maybe unfamiliar with, that you understand what I'm talking about. But let's start with collector roads. What a collector road is, what its purpose is. There's different types of roads, classifications. There's local roads. It's typically what you find on the streets throughout the city or Cedar Hills. Collector roads are meant to take you from your local streets to your arterial streets, which would be more like Canyon Road or North County Boulevard, higher traffic roads, higher speeds. So we have in the city of Cedar Hills, we have a number of collector roads. And so if you think about, if I were going to drive from this building to Walmart, how would I get there? And I'm sure that many of us would take the exact same road. It would be Cottonwood and Redwood. And so as this road, this map right here shows a map of the city. These yellow lines, these represent the collector roads throughout the community.
We can get you one.
This will be public. You can have it. So don't feel like you need to take pictures. I'll send it to you. Have it. You're more than welcome to it. So let me zoom in on this, and you can see. So you have Bay Hill Drive here, Cottonwood, you have Redwood, you have Cedar Hills Drive coming through the community, you have Harvey Boulevard, and then you have Canyon Heights and Box Elder here. And then north-south you have 4600. So these, when I talk about collector roads, these are the roads that you're going to drive on to get anywhere in the city, right? So if you can think about that, it's funneling large populations to a certain destination, to these arterial roads that you'll find on the east and west side of the city. All right. The 85th percentile, so this is something that's going to be important when we talk about traffic studies. The 85th percentile is the speed that drive, that 85% of drivers will not exceed on a given road. This is the road, this is what traffic engineers are looking at and saying, this is the road, this is the speed that most drivers feel safe driving at, right? Their traffic studies show that 90% of people speed, but 10% to 15% of accidents are caused by a certain population of the citizenry. But 85% will not exceed, even if there were no speed limit, they will not exceed this speed because they don't feel safe driving past this speed. So that's important to keep in mind. The 10-mile pace. So the 10-mile pace is, I say here, range of speed at which the majority of cars are traveling. So if you can think of the slow cars, the fast cars, and imagine it as a bell curve, it's this big majority in the middle. And that will change as the day goes on. If there's a lot of congestion, that 10-mile-an-hour pace will slow down on a busier street. But we don't get congestion, really, in our city. Come on in. You can feel free to walk in front of the screen. There's no big deal. So now that you've kind of... Any questions on any of these terms, right?
So then let's talk about traffic mitigation measures in Cedar Hills, what you see in the community we have. I'm going to zoom in on this map again. So this map, each red dot represents a speed hump, a speed table, or a cross gutter, all meant to slow down traffic in various ways. The blue dots are, and this is only on these major roads, and I included this on Forest Creek Drive as we're talking about this neighborhood here specifically. The blue dots are stop signs, whether it be four-way stop, what you have here, or it can be just a stop sign as you approach Redwood or Cottonwood from Redwood. And then these green dots, there's one right here, and then there's one on the south side of the city that's buried underneath this red line right here. These are the speed flashing signs, right, that indicate here's what your speed is. So these are the traffic mitigation measures that we've put in place throughout the city over the years. In my time here, I've been here for 12 years nearly, and in my time here, we've never constructed a speed bump. So these are all fairly established, right? We have put in some four-way stops. The four-way stop at Harvey and 4600, that's about maybe 6 years old at this point. Maybe seven. But that's how established it is. So what we did for this for this presentation tonight is I wanted to, rather than just look at...
Okay.
Say that again?
That four-way stop is during my tenure, so at least within the last 8 years.
I know it wasn't while I was city manager, but it was before that time, so we're looking in the probably 6 to 8 year range. So it's been there for a while. And if you remember, it was supposed to be a temporary thing that people really liked having it there, so we just left it. But it's all there's also a speed table there, so you can see that there's a red dot accompanied by a blue dot there. So if you drive through that intersection, it raises itself a little bit as you go through. So what I wanted to do, rather than looking at Forest Creek Drive, rather than looking at Redwood Drive in isolation, I wanted to show it. Here's all of our collector roads. Here's how Redwood Drive compares to all of our other collectors. Okay. And so what we've done, you've probably seen the traffic trailer, the speed trailer out in the city throughout the community on a number of occasions. Recently, towards the end of October, beginning of November, we put it out on Redwood. And we unplugged the sign so that it was still running, still collecting data, but it wasn't showing, it wasn't displaying the speeds. So I did get a complaint that it was off, it was on, so we have that. So I want to go over all of that. So keeping in mind that 85th percentile, the 10 mile an hour pace, and I'm also going to talk about the average speed and the 50th percentile, right? So here we are. Canyon Heights. Average speeds 22 to 25. 85th percentile 29 to 31, so it speeds up quite a bit. That 10 mile an hour pace between 20 and 30, 22 and 31. Box Elder is probably the most problematic road that we have in terms of collector. You can see these average speeds, three here, 26, 28, 26. And then if you look at that 85th percentile, 32, 34, 32, and you look at that 10 mile an hour pace, it's quite high. Redwood Road, though, is really actually a well-traveled road. I have 20 on one portion of Redwood, that's 10284. That is, well, it's your house. You live in between the traffic, the four-way stop, and the first speed bump as you head north, right? So and the reason we put it there, we put the speed trailer in two locations. We put it halfway in between this four-way stop and that first speed bump, so right about here, because we figured as you accelerate through this area, north and south, this is going to be the point where you can get the highest speed, right? Mm-hmm. And then just to make sure we weren't missing anything, we moved it up to in between two speed bumps up here, right? Because as you travel this road, you've all traveled it, you have to constantly speed up, slow down, so your speed looks like a wave, right? Anyway, so you can see that 10248, average speeds of 20, 21, and then the 10 mile an hour pace is 18 to 27 and 20 to 29. Those are actually really good numbers when you compare to some other collectors. We got a complaint from a resident about speeding on Bay Hill over the weekend. You may have seen that email on Friday, come in Friday afternoon, Friday evening. And I took the time, and I wish, I forgot to get it. I was going to do it, and then I got on the phone with Utopia about another item on the agenda tonight and didn't get it. But their 10-mile-an-hour pace and their 85th percentile numbers look more like box elder. It's not really a collector road, but it's a narrow road. So Cottonwood, Canyon Heights, Redwood, these are wider roads. Box Elder, they're wider roads. So when you drive down a wider road and you drive the speed limit at 25, it feels a little bit slower than if you're driving down a narrow road and you're driving 25. So the circumstances of the road and the environment you're driving through really can dictate the speed that you're traveling. But on Bay Hill, we see a big problem. One last thing to show here. Well, I got a couple other things, actually. This is, I had an employee take these traffic studies and break them down by time of day to see, is there something we're missing? Are high school students coming through at a quicker pace than the rest of the residents? Because if we can pinpoint a time of day that they're really exceeding the speed limit, we can send American Fort Police out there and really kind of regulate so people know, hey, on weekday mornings, don't drive through Redwood real fast. This is what we found. This orange and blue line are the two Redwood studies. Box Elder is gray here, but they're fairly constant. You know, this is a 2-mile-an-hour change in between each line. They're fairly constant. This solid red bar here, that's the average speed of all the studies taken together. This darker gray line that's constant up here, that's the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit, right? So that's the data we're looking at. Now, when we talk about traffic mitigation measures, there are certain things we can do and there are certain things we can't do, right? And so when we look at Box Elder, let me go back to a map. You go to Box Elder, it's this road right here. You're leaving Canyon Road and you're driving up the hillside. So there's two speed studies. There's one that was, you know, eastbound traffic on Box Elder, and people didn't exceed the speed limit, but as they're coming down Box Elder, oh yeah, they are, right? But the problem is, I can't, even though I know that people are exceeding the speed limit there, I can't go out there and put a speed bump there. And it creates a real hazard for us. And the reason is on this hillside especially, if I have a speed bump and people are speeding and it's winter, we're gonna get a storm here hopefully in the next day or two, we really need it, and that freezes over and somebody hits that going too fast, it becomes a real liability, right? Additionally, it becomes very difficult to get snow plows over. So on these hillside areas, I have really limited options in what I can do, right? So on Bay Hill, the gentleman that was complaining, it was about this curve right here. Well, I have really limited, that's a hill right there. I have really limited options about what I can do to mitigate speed there. So it's coordinating with American Fork Police, and as the complaints come in, working with them. I know that the police officers in the past have gone out with the radar gun and helped people understand how fast cars are coming through their neighborhood. How many of you by chance have gone through the Citizens Academy at American Fork? There's the one night that they take you outside with the speed gun and they say, how fast is that car going? And what I learned that night, and I did it too, so I fall into this bucket. Excuse me. Lay people are very, very bad at gauging speed with the naked eye. Just the way it is. You know, so police officers are trained to do so. We're not. And so there can be factors that are happening that may create a bias in how we perceive the speed. It could be they've done studies, and if you're with your children, cars feel like they're going a lot faster. If they've done muffler modifications to the car, so it comes through like a Daytona 500, feels a lot faster. If they're playing loud music, feels a lot faster. Additionally, if they're speeding up because they just went over the speed bump, it can feel a lot faster. And so that's what we're seeing that's what we're seeing in this speed bump, in this speed trailer. Let me show one last thing. What I was talking about. Because this is the raw file, the raw data that our employee put together. She did a great job of putting this together because I get that it's maybe mind-numbing. But this is 4547 Redwood Road, and you can see on this You can see, it's kind of, maybe, I apologize, it's really hard to see, but there's three columns here. There's a column that shows the time of the day, and it's in 15-minute increments, and then you see how many vehicles are coming through at that time, and you can see their average pace, right? And this is Thursday, this is Friday, because this is, we were trying to break it down saying, is it, are we seeing a problem with high school students driving through the area? Are we seeing a problem every day? And it changes. So these are all weekdays. We tried to really isolate weekdays. So Saturday, you can see that if you look at this early morning traffic between 7 and 8:30, the traffic's much lower than on a weekday when kids are going to school. But what we found is I went through and I highlighted any time that the speed for that 15-minute increment was at or above the speed limit, right? At no point did the average speed on this at this road, 4547 Redwood Road, exceed the speed limit. At the 10284, there was one instance when the average speed exceeded the speed limits. Comparing that to Box Elder, wow. Cedar Hills Drive, Harvey Boulevard, Cottonwood, Canyon Heights. So if I were to go back to this presentation and look at why that is, it really is because of mitigation measures that are already in place. Canyon Heights has a couple speed bumps, speed tables up at the top when it levels out as you drive through that neighborhood, and then just as you begin your descent into that neighborhood. This is a corner right here on the south end of the town that we've gotten a lot of complaints over on the city. And this is, again, one of those corners where we have really limited options in what we can do. Same thing on 4600. We don't see a lot of speeding through there. And then Harvey, we don't see a lot of speeding through here. But the speed tables, the speed bumps that are there, they're not designed in a way that you can go over them at 25 miles an hour. You will bottom out. It will be death to your vehicle if you try that. Ideally, a speed bump or one of these traffic mitigation measures should force you to go the speed limit through this, but I don't know how many of you, I'm sure all of you at some point have gone over this speed bump that's directly behind Walmart, right? That thing is awful. I would love to tear it out and at least redo that. That's terrible.
Oh, the one across from Deerfield.
That's the other one. We had a city vehicle a couple years ago that hit that one going a little too fast. We all learned a lesson that day. So, but that's where we are. I mean, so.
Can you go to the graph?
This one?
Yeah. So, I'm assuming everybody's here because there's a problem with speed.
They're concerned on Redwood Road.
There's a concern on Redwood Road.
So what I'm seeing here between...
that's really small.
Yeah, 2:15 and 5 o'clock, the orange is much higher than the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I would assume that's when more people are outside. It's still, the average is low, but it's faster than the rest of the day. Is that generally the perception that's going on is my question. Is that the time that's of concern?
I can't answer that because I haven't been out there on the street at that time of day. I would leave that to the residents to maybe voice seeing when they're seeing the problems. I will say this, though, that, and I've got a stack of speed studies right here, and Mayor, I think I showed you this, is that we look at the average. So we look at the speed studies in the aggregate as the whole community. But if I were to pull any random speed study here, it also tells me the highest speed that went through there during that study. No matter what the road is, no matter where it is, there's always some idiot that is racing. Mm-hmm. So in this case, I've just pulled, this one is Box Elder, max speed is 50. So, and I think that's where it tops out. I don't think it measures anything faster than that. Which one is this? This is Harvey. This one's max speed 49. And so I don't doubt that there are people that are coming through Redwood that are exceedingly fast. And so let's go to a Redwood one.
Yeah, I see it. At least they're going faster than me.
Redwood, 34, which is pretty impressive
between
those speed bumps.
They got it going between those bumps.
The second thing.
The other one is 42, which is, whoa, good for you.
The second thing that I usually look for when we're looking at averages is to see if there's a number that's skewing the data in some way, but in my opinion, it doesn't look to be that way.
No.
Because it is fairly uniform. You look for, somebody that's going extremely slow that's pulling the average down to make it look like, hey, everybody's doing all right.
Right. But
yeah.
From what we saw in the 15-minute averages, it's not there.
But that also, this is why I think maybe the 10-mile pace is important. Because the 10-mile pace takes off, remove the fastest, remove the slowest. What's the majority driving?
Yeah.
And it's within the speed limit. So that's what I'm seeing. So, I know that I live next to a busy road. I live next to Center Street in Pleasant Grove. And, yeah, I hear it and I see it. I know it. So when my kids are playing in the cul-de-sac we live in off of Center Street, and someone speeds by, my blood boils a little bit. I know it. I know what it feels like. So, and I don't doubt that there are people coming through here. My concern, though, is to add another traffic mitigation measure. That's just where I stand. I was talking to the fire department before the meeting about this, and every time you add in a stop sign, a tabletop, a cross gutter, a speed bump, your response time slows down on emergencies. And so getting through the neighborhood down there, you can see how many obstacles they have to go through to get to an emergency or a call. Mayor, Council, that's all I have. If there's any questions, I'd love to answer.
Council, do you have any questions? Councilmember Miller, you look contemplative.
No, I was just wondering how we could communicate this to residents that what the issues are in regards to speeding and the issues in mitigating it.
That's a really good point or question. Because I really appreciate the time you guys have taken to be here tonight. It says a lot about the concern that you have for your neighborhood. There's a gentleman who is in the city who walks around all the time. Probably all see him, but he walks around, and anytime he sees that outlier that's doing the 45 to the school zone, I get a call about it. I know when it's happening. So I have no doubt that it occurs. It's tracking that one individual, though, becomes very, very difficult. Because if you could hunt them down, he's even taken a license plate. We shared it with American Fork PD. Mm-hmm. We've tried to hunt them down. But mitigation measures, whether it's a bump, a chicane, which kind of narrows the road a little bit, forcing you to kind of pause before you go through, there's lots of traffic measures that you can put in place, but you've got to understand here's the effect that it has on maybe traffic in the city. One of the complaints was the sheer number of cars, and unfortunately I just don't see a way to handle that, whereas this is designed as a collector road. It's wider, it's supposed to be trafficked from really the northeast side of town as they head down to North County Boulevard. I drove through Alpine the other day. And if you've driven through Alpine, through their four-way stop, or sort of through the roundabout as you head north, it's kind of an old residential neighborhood. And as you drive through there, if you haven't paid attention, do it, and look on people's lawns, look on business lawns. They have signs that really encourage people to slow down. And I've slowed down just to look at the signs because I think it's interesting. So I think that there was a community effort to slow down traffic through that area, and so they've put out these signs. I don't know. When I get complaints like this, when we got the complaint about Bay Hill, I sent it off to American Fork, and I said, hey, could you please watch this? Something I'd be really interested in getting is the number of traffic citations for speeding on the collector roads and seeing where they're seeing the problem. This is something I thought about too late to get for this meeting tonight, but I still want to get that information and kind of look at it in terms of what we're seeing on a chart like this and then what we're seeing in the applicability of it in public law or law enforcement. But getting the word out to the city is something that's really a challenge, because ultimately it's your neighbors. It's you and your neighbors that are speeding. You know, there's not a lot of through traffic in this area. There might be some traffic heading up to the golf course coming through here, but the vast majority of people that are traversing this road are our residents. You know, and so when we get complaints about people speeding through school zones in the morning, it's usually parents dropping off their children. Mm-hmm. It's ourselves that we need to regulate better here.
So I'd love to hear a little bit from the residents.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got four people who signed up for public comment. So, and then if we need to follow up, Chandler, after the public comment, we can do that. So let's do that. Let's get started with the public comment from the residents. Again, thank you for coming. I appreciate Ashley Shirley for contacting me and alerting us to the problem. And that's what residents should do, and I appreciate that. So let's start with our public comment. We've got Tom Proctor, who is first. Tom, if you'd like to come up, state your name and address, and then will you time? Just with your phone. Can you do that?
There's a time frame?
Yep, we're going to give you 3 minutes.
Okay.
Yes, and she's going to get her, sorry, I didn't give her notice. She's going to get her clock all ready to go here. So, but you can start with your name and address. We won't count that in your time.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
So my name is Tom Proctor, 4521 West Redwood Drive. First, I appreciate all the context here that has been provided. I think it's helpful to make a debate, argument, discussion. That context is very helpful. To add some context, so 4520, or let me start here by saying I've lived on Box Elder. I've also lived on Canyon Heights. I've lived on, 4600? And now I live on Redwood Drive. So I do have some context to I guess provide or share, which is I think that the graph, I don't want to mess with your computer here, but the graph that was shown
earlier.
Okay, right here. So the I really don't have anything to argue other than just to add a little bit of context, which where I'm at right now on Redwood Drive, near the bottom. First, the people that are speeding in front of at least my house are people going to and from school typically. I don't know that for a fact, but I know that they're younger people, and I know the time frame of high school. Mm-hmm. And I live right in front of one of the speed limit signs, speed bumps, and they literally launch off it. So I've witnessed it. I've actually thought about investing in cameras just to verify it and share that with PD if I needed to. But one thing that I would like to know a little bit is the time frame here. If this is, because I've seen this, the machines that are clocking or at least taking this data. I think the data would be a little bit skewed maybe if it was during summer. I could be wrong. But one thing that really, made me want to come here is, number one, the speed bump heights are very different in the city. The one that's next to my house is probably, I would say, I haven't measured them, but I would say is probably one of the smaller ones. And I would invest my own money to make it bigger. I would provide that so the city wouldn't have to pay for that, because that means so much to me. The other thing that isn't here, a little bit of context, is when I'm playing football with my kids or walking on the sidewalk or on the porch and I see someone walking by, I've seen it more often than not where people go around the speed bump and kind of get one edge of their car close to the sidewalk and actually drive up on the sidewalk. So
yeah.
I know my time's up, so I appreciate the opportunity.
You. Just really quickly on your comment. So this latest data was collected recently, so during the school year, so not summer data. But we have done speed studies on this road at all different times of the year. So
most of the time you see the speed out about during the summer, from April to
October. We left it out a couple extra weeks in the end of October, beginning of November, because I wanted to get good data on Redwood, the exact locations where we were talking about tonight. So it was during late October, early November. We wanted to make sure that we were capturing school days. That was important. Mm-hmm. And not like 2020 school days when nobody goes to school, but a 2021 school day that people actually go to school. So we're trying to take into that context because it does matter. You're absolutely right. So I'll just keep a list there, and then maybe when we're done, I can go through some of these
Perfect.
Things.
Okay, yeah. Thank you, Tom. Okay, our next person is Jeff Shirley. If you want to come up, state your name and address, and then you'll have 3 minutes.
Thanks for taking the time. I'm a school principal, so I know the nature of complaints. So I know what it's like to work in the community, but thank you for your service to the community. I really appreciate it. So Jeff Shirley, 10312 Redwood Drive. We live pretty close to one of the speed bumps. I took some notes here. I would say I put speed in quotes because I've seen them speed up to go over it. And a lot of this, I agree, is our residents. I've seen some of the teenage kids sometimes stop before the speed bump and then speed up so that they can launch off it a little bit more. So what we're concerned about is we feel like the speed bump, at least by our house, was poorly constructed. We feel like that it doesn't slow down traffic. I sit out in front of my house and I see the speed not being deterred whatsoever by those going over it. We've invested in our own little green man that we put out in front of our house when our kids are there because we're so concerned. And I appreciate the speed study that was taken. Probably the only number that I'm concerned about, though, is the amount of children that could get hit. We have 100 kids just on our side of the road that live along Redwood Drive. So really, it's only one that could get hit. I don't want it to get to that point before we do something about it. We've yelled at speeders that have gone through. It doesn't really seem to deter them. My kids are 11 and younger, and they tend to yell at the kids or that the people are going through as well. And if we could send something out to the residents as well about driving with cell phones, I mean, that drives me insane. Just seeing mothers in minivans with their phone going over the speed bump, not being deterred by it, looking at their phone. There's been close calls with our kids as well, playing on the sidewalk, people getting really close to the sidewalk, wanting to go the side route, not up on the sidewalk really by us, but it's gotten to the point where, and the Eastmans will talk about it as well, I don't want to park on the street if I need to like clean out the garage or anything, just because I don't want my car to get hit because they get so close to the sidewalk. It seems like there's a lot less traffic on Forest Creek Drive. We get that it's a collector road, but and we bought a house there. We understand it, but we understand. We just wish there wasn't as much traffic. If we could find a way to deter that anyway, we would appreciate that. Once again, thanks for taking the time and hearing our concerns. We would just really appreciate if something could be done. And when I was talking to my wife, I was like, you know, we reach out to the mayor, and we were really shocked that we got a quick response. So shout out to you and that you were kind enough to take the time and look into this. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming tonight. I appreciate it. Stuart Eastman. Name, address, in 3 minutes.
Okay. Stuart Eastman's 4573 West Redwood Drive. It's right at this point where the house right next to me becomes North Redwood Drive, and that little curve there. Appreciate the study. It's better than most political polls is the way it's done. But I do have a master's in statistics. You can look at different stratifications and F distribution versus normal, etc. On Redwood, where you saw that down in that area, Brother Jason lives, you know, we had a below average speed limit, 25, right, for residential. However, it's erratic. You take all those speed bumps, people will slow down, and they accelerate over them, and they accelerate between them. So your traffic is not, the average isn't really relevant in a lot of ways. Give you one real quick example. This happened about a month and a half ago. It was a young man. He was driving down to school. It was a little bit rainy that day. It's amazing how we can't drive in rain. But anyway, he comes out on that curve, and I don't know whether he said he was trying to get his defroster working a little better. But he wasn't paying attention where he's going. That little curve, he ends up going straight towards a couple of cars that are parked across the street from me. It's a wide street. Well, he smashes into a 150 Ford pickup that's got it's in park and it's got its brake on and it still hits that hard enough to go forward a few feet into another car parked there in the back, damaged them all. His car was totally totaled. And he was just lucky that he hit on the passenger side of the corner of that pickup or he probably would have died. And my son, who happened to own that pickup and had been over to visit the house, was just ready to cross the street, noticed his car becoming a pretty good pace and stopped. Otherwise, he might have been just getting into that pickup at the time of hit. So it is a serious situation. And that's the one that was talked about. That speed bump is right in front of my house, basically. But it was designed to be a walkway, too. So it got a little bump, pretty broad, flat area, and a little bump. So it doesn't do much, and most people will accelerate over that. And you can tell there's some kids who like the speed bumps. You know, we get a little hazard aspect. So we do have to maybe think about redesigning. The other thing is there's no street signs on there. There's no 25 speed limit. In which, of course, everybody should know that's your speed limit residential. But the signs help, I think, to slow people down so that we could think about signs. And then the only other thing is that this is a community that's still growing. There's more houses being built, and there's going to be more traffic that got a nice facility here. People are going to come up and down that hill. And, you know, it takes a slant at the top right when you come off the steep part going down. You go to Stop Pine, and then you're on to Redwood. But it's still a slant down, so people don't adjust for that speed. Pick it up.
Thank you very much, Mr. Eastman. Okay, Ryan Chase.
Thank you for the opportunity. Ryan Chase, 10284 Redwood Drive. And I just want to start by echoing, you know, the gratitude for this amazing community. Just so grateful to be a part of this and seeing, you know, some of your faces that I know and love. It's just, it's an honor to be called a resident of Cedar Hills. A couple of things that I don't think have been quite mentioned yet. One, and I'm not a statistics, you know, master, but it would be very interesting to see where these, the speed limit trailer is placed. Because as soon as I saw that out there, I thought, this is what we're going to see. Honestly, that was my first thought is, great, this is how we're doing it. I mean, I want to do it the right way, and I want to see the graphs. I love numbers. But I thought, right there where you can see right after the speed bump, right after you stop at the stop sign, it is a decision between where I'm speaking for myself here, between that last speed bump and that stop sign. It is a decision as soon as they get over that to either put the pedal to the metal or not. And as soon as they get over that speed bump, oh, there's something there that just makes me, that changes my decision. I promise you. I mean, I guess I don't have the data to back it up. But I promise you in my heart, with all of the feeling and love that I have, that is not accurate data for at least my portion. I don't know if there is a more conspicuous way that we could do it. I don't know if there is a device that isn't this, we're tracking you, and I'm sure that that's the case with other streets that you've gathered, that maybe it's skewed as well. I can't speak to exactly where that was, but that's my thought. Is as soon as I saw that, it was like, darn it, we're for sure going to get way lower speeds than are actually happening. Another thought is that many of our houses on that street are elevated. Mine in particular. I haven't measured, I haven't seen what others are, but man, a ball falls out of my garage, a car just gets released like that from anywhere on my driveway, and it is in the middle of that street. And right in the middle between the speed bump and the stop sign. it scares me to death. I don't even have my kids, will go outside and it's just like, I can't even have a front yard because of it. And we do, man, I have a lot more to say and no more time, but I really am grateful that we're looking into this, but my plea is to continue to consider another speed bump in between that last one and the stop sign. Honestly, people make that decision as soon as they go from either the stop sign or that other side to either hit the gas or not. And when there's something there making them decide not to, that's why we're seeing the numbers there, and I feel very strongly about that.
Thank you, Ryan. And Mr. Goodwin.
First of all, I'm impressed, Mr. Proctor, you've almost hit for the cycle on cliff, on collector roads in the city. It's pretty impressive. That's awesome. I agree that, I'm just going to go right through my notes, so if I miss anything, please let me know. I agree that the biggest problem we're seeing is during the hours of school. So if I were to look at this study here, let me change it to the Redwood Grove, right? Drive chat tab. Change it to this one. I think this is more relevant. So this is Wednesday, October 27th. So you can kind of see when we were doing these studies. This is set up on Tuesday, October 26th, early in the morning when Public Works gets into work, and we leave it out there. And I'm happy to share this. If you guys want this, you can have it. But you can see that in most of these days, you can see it in 15-minute increments, like 8. This is 9:15. So this is actually elementary school, this cell right here, F13. This is 63. So that's 63 cars coming through in a 15-minute span, which is pretty. It's a lot of cars.
A lot of cars.
So, but you see that on this. So it's moms taking their kids down to Cedar Ridge Elementary. And then as you pick up kids down here at 2 to 3 o'clock, you see it tick back up again. Not quite as high. Maybe they're making the kids walk home. I don't know. But the time frame of the study was, we tried to, like I said, to identify a time that was relevant, and it was during school that we were looking at. Speed bump heights and the actual design of a speed bump is not, they're wildly different down there. And that is a shame, because speed bumps, there's traffic manuals that dictate the slopes of speed bumps, how high they are. That's not something that's just left up to an arbitrary decision that the city makes. And so I'm happy to have our public works director and his staff go out there and kind of say, here's the American Public Works Association standard for speed bumps. What do we got? What do we got here? And saying, are these just speed? I don't know what's smaller than a bump, but you get my drift. They're decorative. There you go. When you're saying that, Mr. Shirley, when you're saying that the speed bumps are poorly constructed, I know. I agree. There's a few of them down there that are just terrible. I know that some of them have almost no effect. I know that some have too much effect. And there's kind of a sweet spot in there that maybe is missing. I also share concerns about children getting hit, and I share that with, there's many roads in the city that I have this concern on. As we look at, I'll just share an example. For the longest time, kids were, as they're coming home from Deerfield Elementary and they're living up in Canyon Heights on the east side of Canyon Road, they'd have to dart across the street there at Canyon Road. And that was just, that's an accident waiting to happen. I'm surprised that we didn't have an accident, because Canyon Road is, in my opinion, and I drive it every day, is the worst road ever. It's a little better now that they redid it, but it's still got problems. But so now there's a spot where you can, like, where the kids can hit a button, carry a flag, and get across the street safely. So we really do care about getting kids home, or getting kids to and from places safely. I share your concern about parents driving with cell phones. I would love to put a messaging campaign out to the public and put it in a weekly update, put it in whatever we can, whatever form, whether it's in social media posts,
alerting people to this problem is because it's a self-inflicted problem. It's ourselves doing it, and that's really the problem. So it's getting the message to everyone in the community. The problem is I can't go knock on everyone's door and read it to them. I need them to kind of clue in and pay attention. And I really pray that it's not an incident like what you're saying that's going to be that kind of that event that clues people into the problem of cell phone driving. I don't know how to deter traffic onto Forest Creek Drive. I've thought about how to split that, and I just don't know. I don't have a good answer there.
Hey, Chandler,
yes.
I have an idea on that one.
Please.
Because I've had to take kids down to school,
yeah.
And I don't think a lot of parents are really aware that that's a nice little alternate road to take to get kids to the school, so maybe there's a sign that I'm saying something like elementary school this way.
With an arrow.
With an arrow.
It's more direct to Cedar Ridge than going down Redwood.
So you get...
And I mean, you know, and maybe something, maybe before we start buying signs and saying, I might need a poll, I'm sure we've got speed trailer data on there that shows the number of cars. It could already be fairly evenly split as we look at the same times of the day and similar days, saying, here's where cars are going. This one?
Follows the canal.
Harvey?
Forest Creek?
Forest Creek.
Forest Creek, yeah, we're talking this one.
Are those, yeah, those aren't, there's actually...
Those are cross gutters that you have to slow in your approach.
Yeah, they do their job. Gretchen was just saying they don't allow traffic to enter from the east.
Yeah, you have to queue up
right
coming
so
up from the west.
What we did was we dropped the kids off at the corner and they crossed the street with the crossing guard.
Mm. And then to Mr. Chase's point, I really, help me understand, because I want to know where you feel like a relevant place is to
Point it out.
Trailer, because I made an educated guess, right. And I put one right here, and I put one kind of in between this forest stop and the speed bump there. I'm trying to split the difference there.
I don't know that there's an answer to that, honestly,
okay.
Because my thought is the other places that you gather data that have higher speeds. I can't speak to where those trailers were, but my thought is because we have speed bumps, by the time they get to here, you know, they need to slow down. Right?
Yeah.
They have to slow down. And then they look up and go, should I speed up or not? No, is there something there?
Sure.
So I'm just saying that maybe in other roads it's,
oh, I'm sorry, going that fast down.
Okay.
This is like, am I
going to
speed up or not?
I see.
Can I chat a little bit?
Yes.
Please. On the speed trailer that was around that corner, we didn't change size of the street at that for that reason. We spun it around the same side of the street. So it would get their speed from the stop sign to that speed bump. So if they come to that stop sign, for you to notice that trailer, it wasn't on your side of the street, it was on the other side of the street, so it wasn't really, it wasn't turned on. So we're trying to work with them, trying to fake them out, you know what I mean? We're trying to, and I think the speeds going towards the stop sign to that speed hump are really very accurate. Because I went down to myself and kind of just wanted to see what was going on too. I don't know about the other way, because it was in that lane, but that's why we just spun it. I was going to move it across the street. I'm like, you know, let's leave it here because it's shooting at the intersection more. So when you come to the stop sign, it was sitting on the wrong side of the road. So it wasn't even on the same side as you would be driving. So people, when you're driving, most people aren't looking, you know, to that side. They're looking ahead or what's on that shoulder.
Rather than passing on the right, you're passing on the opposite side of the street to the left.
Yeah. So do you understand what I'm... So if you're driving, it's on this, instead of on this side, it's on this side where you're looking more towards the right when you're driving. At least when I drive, I do. Like for parked cars and stuff, I'm not looking to the left because I'm not driving over there. I'm not, that's my thinking. Other people think other ways, you know, but.
Taylor, one last thought on this one.
I just want to see
also the last
Just trying to understand, because I'm only speaking for myself.
Okay.
Between right here.
Yep. So the speed trailer is on the map, so on the left.
On the left side of the road, on the west side.
It was on the left side here, and it caught southbound traffic first for a few days, and then we spun it, just turned it around, and rather than, and still on the left side of the road here, then it caught northbound traffic as it approached the speed bump there.
And that way, when the radar would reach them all the way to the intersection, so we know if they accelerate from the stop sign, because it doesn't just take one thing; it keeps taking their speeds. So as you speed up, it changes the number on your route. It slows down and changes. It doesn't just.
I thought that was the whole time it was there. I saw when I stopped at the stop sign, and I saw when I was coming back. So it was like.
Okay.
No matter what, whatever you decide to go forward or not, like, it's just right there.
I got you. I'm just trying to put in my way to
go for your
We are. We're done.
We are.
Yeah.
I apologize that this went right up to the 7 o'clock threshold, but we're unfortunately out of time.
Yeah.
I'm happy to continue this discussion. I'm happy to, like, look into this some more. I don't know where to...
My question is, now that we have the information, where do we go from here trying to...
You can decide on if you want to do something. I mean, there's kind of this, if you can imagine this scale of escalation from, you know, we're going to put the speed trailer out, that is literally, and they're correct, that is literally the minimal effort that we can put out, that we can do. It's put the speed trailer out, collect the data, see what happens. Step up law enforcement and direct Josh and his staff to really spend more time there, you know, because then you're taking your police resources and allocating it to a certain location. I think the next step would be what you've seen is some of those speed signs that indicate the speed indicator signs, keeping in mind that those are $3,000 each. So if you're going to spend that, then you got to budget that. And that's fine. We've put them up before, and that's fine. And they work, but the problem is that those, in many cases, not every case, but in many cases, after a while, they kind of become white noise. And for the people that drive past them every day, they may not really even pay attention to them. Where initially, they may have a big impact. And then finally, the nuclear option is doing a traffic or a road construction project that would, you know, alter the actual traffic.
I don't know how you would use police, but I actually did make a complete stop at a stop sign that the person was talking about. I got a ticket.
I got you.
I have stuff every time. And I just see guys up there getting their ticket and stuff. It's a stop very busy.
Yeah.
But my point would be, and it's tough to pick up speed if you got speed bumps, you slow down a little bit and then might accelerate over. Where are you going to get it? But
yeah.
I don't know if you can figure out if
so.
You're out there.
I could keep talking, but...
Yeah, thank you for putting us all together. This is a very informative discussion. We're out of time. We've got to start our regular...
It wasn't brought up, but the mailboxes on that road are on the downhill side of the road. We have two of them there.
Yeah.
People cross the street to do that. The school is also to the west.
Yeah.
Children crossing that street to get to the school.
Yeah. We've worked on trying to move mailboxes before. It's like trying to get legislation through the U.S. Senate.
That's important. I think yeah. It's just slowing down the speed. And I know that when you're driving a car, speed is completely different from the people who are standing stationary,
right.
Watching their children.
Right. Yeah.
And so we're to accommodate, I would think, the cars are not going to be hurt if there's an accident.
But people will.
The child.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. We are going to, I would take a motion to close our work session.
I'll move to adjourn work session.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Thank you. Motion made by Councilmember Ellsworth, second by Councilmember Smith. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Our work session is closed. We will take just a couple minutes. We'll start at 7:05 with our regular session.